You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe.
Hour number two. We are ready to go. Who you got tonight? Kansas City at Denver. Also, we can continue to talk about Saints. They get the big win over the Giants. LSU, nice win over Ole Miss. I thought it was impressive. Tulane, huge win over Memphis. They're at Cincinnati this week. And the Colonels pick up their win over Lamar. Northwestern State on tap this weekend. Don't forget, you can speak with and go hang out and have some pizza, Rotolo's Pizzeria. The Tim Rebo Show each and every Monday, 6 p.m. Stop on by and check out Brian Johnson and Coach Tim Rebo as they have a little dinner and talk about the previous game and get you ready for the upcoming week as well. So we got a ton to get into, and again, a lot of questions for you to, you know, just kind of think about. A bunch of questions of the day we threw out there. Some polls as well at ESPN Radio NOLA if you want to go check that out. Game balls, pat on the back. Who needs to have a seat with Coach Kamara? Andy Dalton gets my pat on the back. He beat the Falcons with 9 seconds to go to put them to 1-3 on the season. Also, think of this, and we'll address this in hour number two, I mean three. With a quarter of the season done, do you think the Saints are where you thought they would be? And more importantly, in the NFC South, who do you think's the dominant team right now? Is it the Saints? Alfred, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. What you got?
Hey, Gus, great Monday. I just have a couple comments, actually questions. First of all, not only did our two local teams win, but Tulane, Saints, and LSU all won. And I wonder if you know how many times that we can say all five teams in southeastern Louisiana won
right
the same weekend
right
with southeastern Nichols, Tulane, LSU, and the Saints. I don't know if I've ever remembered that happening.
Yeah, no, look, like I said, I was excited just coming in this weekend. I mean, today off of the weekend, you had a lot of, and it wasn't just like wins. I mean, look, you'll take all of them. They were impressive. I thought they all were impressive. I mean, Nichols put up 50 points. I mean, it was impressive. You know, I mean, I enjoyed seeing it. 50-27 Nichols. Tulane puts up 40. LSU puts up 45, and the Saints should have had 40, and they put up 33.
Another little question is, I don't know if you addressed this or not, but why was the game on CBS yesterday?
You know, I want to say a year or two ago when the new contract came out, they got first dibs. If there was like a game of the week on Fox, Fox's game of the week was the afternoon game. And So CBS can pick the best matchup that they feel that they want to do. I want to say it's the second or third time they've actually aired NFC games, but they can pick what they think at that time slot maybe is the best game to check out, and that's what it was. So, but yeah, normally, obviously, AFC, CBS, NFC on Fox, but I want to say that last TV deal, that big one, that just, it's about 2 years old, I think. That was part of it, that they could sort of pick. And I think sometimes Fox may go with the, hey, let's check out a game in the AFC. But I know CBS has done that. Although, I'll tell you what, the Browns and Raiders, what was a great game. And Joey, dude, give me a second, because I'm going to get to that game here after the phone call.
All right. Well, I'll just put that in the file of calling for a fair catch at the 10-yard line on the kickoff and getting it at the 25. I didn't know about that until earlier this year. And they said, well, that's been a rule all year.
Like, yeah, in college football. Okay, crazy, yeah, I do it all the time. I would do it all the time, honestly. I mean,
absolutely.
Unless it's like
– you're playing a good team.
Unless that kickoff falls like at the 10-yard line, I mean, why even chance to take it? I'd start the 25. I'll take a 25 all the time.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gus. I enjoyed the show, and keep it up as always.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you, Alfred. Hugh Jackson and Joey on the No More Excuses.
I'm tired of growing pains. I think we can do those things better. There's no question. I mean, those guys, those things hadn't reared their ugly head, you know, until now. So we can do better. Baker can do better. Our offense can do better. Our special teams can do better. Defense can do better. So we got to play better.
Dude, I'm going to say it for you. You don't have to say it. You guys got...
Penn State should have won that football game.
What are you talking about? What? You know what? Welcome to the conversation, Jordan, who apparently you're napping. I'm talking about the Browns. That's Hugh Jackson.
I'm talking about another thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not even addressing that game just yet.
But there was a bad call that they went on, and the play call was ridiculous and forth. What? Hugh Jackson and the Browns got screwed. I don't know how else to look at it that way, right? I mean, it was the first down. By the running back, he got the first down, and then they overturn it. They overturn it, Joey. And that game, with a minute something left, it's over. The game is over, Joey.
Yes.
It's done. The Browns win. Instead, they punt and can't stop Derek Carr, who ties the game and go into overtime.
It
Baker Mayfield.
It'd be a heck of a review to turn that over on the third down and short. So, I don't know, but anytime you put it in somebody else's hands, it's not always going to turn out your way. We got to control what we can control and execute better.
I saw that replay and I couldn't even believe it, Joey. I was like, that's a first down.
A foot over the line.
It's a first down. And then they overturn it.
We're playing Oakland. They never won a game, poor guys.
I mean, I guess, but I'll say this, though. Even in that loss, man, there's no doubt future's bright there for Cleveland as well. 800-998-1003 if you want to chime in the conversation. I do have my eye on Milwaukee and Chicago. They're in the bottom of the fourth. Milwaukee up 1-0. Two outs here in the bottom of the fourth, and their starter is dealing against Chicago, unfortunately. Again, this is a tiebreaker game. Rockies-Dodgers tiebreaker game at 3. All four teams are battling for division titles, right? So Milwaukee, Chicago, and NL Central. Colorado and the Dodgers are battling for the NL West. The two winners move on. The two losers have to play in the wild card game tomorrow. So there you go. That's where it's at right now. I said to me, obviously Alvin Kamara is an easy game ball for this game against the Giants. But I also mentioned, dude, look at what Demaryius Davis did. And he had an unbelievable game. 11 tackles, 9 of them were solo, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. Sean Payton after the game mentioned, yeah, he was excited about coming back and playing in that stadium. We played so many times with the Jets. And then after the game, I don't know if you saw, Sean Payton gave a big hug to Demario Davis. He was asked about it.
Yeah, I mean, you just get excited about being around your players when you win. And so he was one of those he's one of those guys that's, into it and emotional. And I was excited for him.
One of the things we talked about in hour number one, too, as well, was the run game being clutch. Remember, there was a handful of you guys that called during the shows and, you know, worried about the run game. Where's the run game? When are the Saints' run game going to get going? Last week, over 100 yards. What was it, 142, 145, something like that? 170 yesterday. Now, granted, Alvin Kamara's 49-yard run was huge, but subtract 149 from 170, you're still over 100 yards. Saints run game did a good job. And more importantly, it was clutch.
The first week was a little different just because of the type of game we're in, but but I was pleased tonight. I thought when you can finish the game out like that, you know, that's a pretty good front. And when you can finish the game out when you need to, that was important.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, one of the things that really stood out to me was that first half to the second half, got the blocking going, the receivers were blocking. Kamara just looked quicker. I for some reason, the whole offense as a whole in that first half just looked so sluggish. Couldn't get going. But that Alvin Kamara scamper, the 49-yarder, the ball game, right? Ball game. Drew Brees on it.
Great. Guys up front did a phenomenal job really all game. And, you know, sometimes that's the way it goes with the run game is you pound, and it's, you know, maybe 2 yards here, 3 yards there, and then all of a sudden, you know, you pop one.
Drew Brees on seeing that Alvin Kamara TD run from his perspective after the handoff.
It was a gap scheme run, and the minute I hand it off to him, kind of get my head around, and I see the hole, you know, so, man, we're hitting the hole. And, you know, at that stage in the game, it's, you know, one more first down or maybe two more first downs and we win the game. And so I'm like, all right, this can be a nice little chunk. And then all of a sudden he gets out in the open.
And you can imagine, as I feel, like I said, I definitely think this is where I thought. This is where I thought the Saints offense would be. I thought in training camp, I'm like, look, I don't see how this team doesn't just put up points. Who's stopping them? I thought Kamara and Thomas would be good. I definitely did. But then at the same time, I thought, you know, Traquan Smith, Jordan. I thought Cameron Meredith would add. We really hadn't seen them at all, really. I mean, they were on the field yesterday. You saw him, right? Traquan Smith, there was an incompletion. I thought Drew was a little late.
Cameron Meredith got the first completion of the game.
Right. So. No, I mean, they're there. It's coming. And again, Ben Watson dropped the pass. It could have been a touchdown. And so it's still going to get better when Double Deuce comes back. Drew Brees on getting Ingram back.
That's weird. Very excited. Very excited. Not just his productivity and the type of player he is, but, I mean, he's one of the most well-liked, well-respected guys in the locker room. And I know it's been killing him to be away. So really excited to get him back, get his personality back, get his work ethic. You know, just get Marky Mark back, man. It's going to be great.
800-998-1003 is the number to call if you'd like to chime in, give us your game balls, and also where do you think this team is at this way, at this point of the season? Quarter of the season's in the books. Do you think this is where they would be when you saw the beginning of the season get on their way? It's crazy. This team can still go to 4-1. They'll be on Monday Night Football taking on Washington. They had a bye, as did Carolina this past weekend. We'll have more when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. It ain't me. It
ain't me. Never know how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on parts and accessories. 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. That's a bag you just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/18.
Rogers Parts, nationally known, locally owned. Lockport, Morgan City, Abbeville, LaRose, and Galliano.
Sink your teeth into one of the Dugout and Thibodeau's famous mouth-watering Grand Slam burgers or their famous homemade roast beef po' boys. The Dugout also has frappes, smoothies, and a variety of specialty sundaes and offers over 85 snowball flavors to choose from. Any one can be made sugar-free. Follow them on Facebook. First 10 customers to come in and mention you heard this commercial on ESPN Radio will win a free Dugout t-shirt. Visit the Dugout of Thibodeau, located on St. Mary Street in Thibodeau.
Peter Don's Cart and Accessories, where you get the lowest prices in the area on golf carts and other motorized carts, as well as parts. Peter Don's sells refurbished gas and electric club cars and EZ-Gos, and wait until you see the huge showroom filled with parts and accessories. Now through October 31st, the T105 Trojan 6-volt battery is just $99. Peter Don's gives you more for less and the best selection of motorized vehicles, plus that 1-year warranty on all parts. Peter Don's, West Main and Houma.
A strong defense wins the game. Don't wait for rising water. Call Associated Pump and Supply today. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs, Associated Pump and Supply has your water solution with 30 years plus experience. Our staff is ready to deliver, install, repair, or retrofit your pumping equipment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call 985-851-7077 or visit AssociatedPump.com. Associated Pump and Supply, a proud sponsor of the Nicholls State Colonels.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
As Burrow pulls from him, and Burrow's loose, 20, 15, 10, 5, left corner of the end zone, touchdown, Tigers!
LSU with a big win over Memphis, and then, of course, Tulane with the, look, it was a shocking win over Memphis as they thoroughly beat them 40-24.
And stretch play, Dauphine trying, right corner, he's got it, first down and then some, right sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, checkerboards, touchdown, Corey Dauphine!
Snap to McMillan.
Chris Blair, LSU Sports Radio Network, and Ty Graffanini, Tulane IMG Sports Radio Network with the calls there. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in into the conversation. Again, Saints LSU Tulane Nichols with a huge win as well, putting up a ton of points, 50-27. Remember the last couple of weeks we've been talking with Coach. We can go pay a visit with today over at Rotolo's Pizzeria at 6 o'clock as you can each and every Monday on the Tim Rebo Show. But also, of course, on Tuesdays he chats with us. But remember, we've been talking about how that offense just been settling for field goals and really hadn't gotten going just yet. Well, they did on Saturday, so I'm sure Coach will be excited to have a slice of pie and then also talk a little Cardinals football, so stop on by tonight. All right, fine. Since you brought it up, I feel bad for you. Because in a Cleveland Browns conversation, you wanted to talk about Penn State, Ohio State. Who you got to your top four? It's Alabama. I'd put Ohio State too. Clemson right now, even though their quarterback situation's a little weird, and the way Dabo Sweeney, you know, the guy that got benched and I'm transferring him out, and he wasn't very happy about that. After the game on Saturday, I didn't even want to talk about him. Like, none exist.
I think Penn State wins that football game. LSU's number three.
I can't disagree with you.
And you could be looking at Alabama, Georgia, and LSU, top three.
No, I still would put Clemson above.
Above?
LSU. I think they move up a spot before if Ohio
LSU
State
LSU has played the toughest schedule so far and won all their games.
Well, again, in theory. But is Miami a top 10 team?
Well, when they played them, they were.
They were, but are they now?
But when they played them,
okay,
they,
it's a difference of a spot. It's a difference of a spot. I hear what you're saying. Point is, in that game, Penn State went for it on a fourth down, and
that was the worst fourth down I've ever seen.
It was just a bad call. I mean, Kurt Herbstreit didn't understand it. Nobody understood it.
Was it an option? A quarterback option?
It wasn't. He had nothing to do with it. It was a handoff of a running back that went right up.
Yeah, but
the
it
middle.
Looked like he was.
It wasn't nothing. It was just a straight, here you go. And that was Herbstreit's point. He's like, why would you not give it to a guy that had a career day? Right? But at the end of the game, James Franklin, the head coach, first off, kind of had to be held back from going after a fan that gave him the business as he was going into the team tunnel. I know you're, you know, you got the emotions flowing. You got to know better as a head coach, especially in your own home stadium, man. Anyway, so James Franklin then goes on this little rant about being great's one thing. Got to be better than that.
It's getting everybody to commit to waking up every single day and trying to be the best you possibly can be, and we haven't done that. We've gotten to a point where we are great and we're comfortable with being great. That's the issue. We haven't broken through with these types of programs yet. That's everything. Every single thing matters. And I'm going to be all over all of it. Myself, the coaches, the players, the trainers, the doctors, the facilities, the administration, all of it. Because no one's happy with this. Our fans aren't happy. I'm not happy with it. I could sit here and say it's a moral victory and all that because we lost to a higher-ranked team by 1 point. No, it's not good enough. So if I drove everybody crazy the last 4 years, we're going to take it to a whole nother level.
He wasn't done. That whole other level of being elite to where he wants to be.
I'm not going to sit here and say it was good enough. It wasn't good enough. And again, I don't want anybody to misinterpret anything. I'm not blaming the players. I'm not blaming the assistant coaches. It's on me. James Franklin, we're going to get it done together. But ultimately, I'm responsible, and I'm going to make sure it gets done, no matter what.
You know what? Joey and Jordan, I got a message for you. Every single Monday morning, I'm sending that to you. 6 a.m. I'm somehow going to find a way to weasel it to where that's your wake-up call. That's your alarm. Because that's how I need to start the week right there. It's everybody. Joey, it's you.
Yep.
Jordan, it's you. Who's not even paying attention? Who are you texting right now?
Somebody. Brian.
Who are you texting?
Brian Nolese. Saying I'm right. Should have been number three.
Here we
go. Ohio State loses. Finally got someone with knowledge about sports talking to me.
You know what? The both of you.
I never said you that every morning.
Whereas Jordan would say, I love the kayak races that you're talking about.
Exactly. Just out of nowhere. Here you go.
Hey, Penn State.
Yep. Hey, but I tell you what.
Joey, that's not how I sound.
Hey, I love you, man.
At least he's aware enough to go, well, there should be three.
They should be.
Hey, have you watched Ohio State? But you think LSU's better than Ohio State right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they lose that game.
Both of y'all think that?
If they lose that game, they are.
I think LSU is better than Ohio State.
Okay, if they lose that game, that's not what we were saying.
We're talking about rankings right now, I guess.
Penn State.
Yes. Georgia they are State. Better.
Yes.
You think they're better than Ohio State right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Better quarterback.
Yes.
Better wide receivers.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Better coach.
Okay.
Better coach, better interview of a coach.
You're going Coach O over Urban Meyer.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Have you seen Coach O get suspended?
Oh.
No.
Right?
Wow.
All hey.
Right.
And then it looks like you're having better running backs than him also.
Okay. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I'm on the Jordan train.
I don't know. Tell you what, I mean,
the O line might be a little weak.
The two games I've seen Ohio State play from start to finish, the TCU and that one.
Oh, TCU.
Who else they played?
TCU.
Wow. Next thing you tell me.
Oh, wait, let me tell you. La Tech, Southeastern, Ole Miss.
Wow.
500 yards.
Auburn. People.
Okay, Auburn. Auburn's your one win. Do you know that Southern Miss made them sweat over the weekend? Southern Miss won't win six games this year. I'm just saying. I mean, if you want to go by schedule and you want to go by who they're playing and everything, I'm going by the eyeball test as well, dude.
ESPN Ohio and CBS State, both have stated
dude,
that
Ohio
LSU
State has some athletes, dude. They got some athletes.
Okay, but you know,
right,
I almost lost to a
right.
top 10 team when LSU's beating two of them.
Me too.
Well, you know what? If things go according to plan, well, no, I see. And I will give you this: the road for Ohio State from here on out. It's nowhere near the road that LSU has to get to the college football playoff. That's for sure.
Well, no, LSU.
I mean, this game is tough coming up against Florida. And then you got Georgia.
Okay.
And you still got Bama, which, by the way, we're arguing for nothing because no one's beating Alabama.
You want to bet?
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
You know I'm what? Telling you, we're going to give Georgia.
Who's beating?
We're going to lose. Well, I think we're going to lose to Georgia, but it's going to be a dogfight.
Okay.
We're going to come back, one revenge. We're gonna spank Alabama.
Oh my!
17-10.
No,
hold on,
Joey. It's not gonna be a 7-point. It's gonna be like a 3-point game.
Okay, 14-17.
Hold on. Here's my pen.
Right.
Write it down.
1:26 p.m.
Write it down. I am betting
October 1st.
I am betting your salary on this, Gus.
All right.
Yep.
So
I'm betting your
Jordan
salary. On this.
We go undefeated till Georgia.
Yep.
Quote.
Yep.
You're spanking Alabama.
Yes.
No, I said.
No.
Wait, you
I have
forgot
it.
The other stuff.
No, I
Elephant
have it.
Elephant is gone.
I have it recorded. You said you were spanking Alabama.
Right. I'll go with Joey's score, 17-14 LSU.
That's not spanking Alabama.
Has any other team won against Alabama?
That's not spanking. No. That's
doesn't matter.
Winning, okay, that's okay. You got to win.
No, we're not even on the same.
You said spanking.
Man. They're an I-10. We're an I-12.
All right, they're going to get garbage points in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Garbage. Yep. Have you?
Coach O's going to put the third string in.
Serious question. Serious question.
Okay,
for Jordan, have you watched anything other than LSU this year, college football?
Yeah,
you have.
Yeah.
Seriously, like
Who has Alabama played?
Oh my God. Oh. It doesn't matter who
who have they played?
When your starting quarterback gets benched, or I'm sorry, can take a seat with 8 minutes left in the second quarter, I mean, seriously. Because going by your theory then is LSU, is Ohio, it's all everybody else going. Like, hammering people that aren't ranked and are bad teams, right? I mean, your starting, Tua hasn't played in the fourth quarter yet. Tua sat down with 8 minutes left in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Oh my.
They're playing.
To answer Jordan's question.
Community colleges.
Hold on. Okay. To answer Jordan's
LSU
question.
LSU didn't do that to Southeastern.
But let me do this for him.
Okay. Yeah. But they did, basically did it to Ole Miss.
But to answer Jordan's question.
They could have easily played Miles Brennan in the second half.
There we go.
But they decided not to.
Jordan, here's your powerhouse teams Bama's played. Mm-hmm. Louisville. The great Arkansas State.
Arkansas State. Watch out for them.
Who got whipped.
Watch out for Arkansas State.
Those Ole Miss Rebels. By the way, who got beat by Ole Miss this weekend?
Yeah, 66 they put on Ole Miss.
Well, yeah, but they didn't want to play.
Okay, I'm just saying, they got 66. They gave up 7.
The all-powerful Texas A&M, and of course, you know, can't break that wall of ULL.
Yeah, I guess A&M sucks too. I got it. Speaking of, did you see Jimbo Fisher?
Oh, by the way, they play Arkansas next week.
Jimbo, oh my. I mean, I don't even need to do the Arkansas game day show for that.
Then Mizzou, then Tennessee.
Yeah, before they play no LSU. One's beating them.
Why do you got so many preseason games before they play LSU?
So everyone said when Clemson played them, we all know how that finished out.
Yeah,
dude, you cannot possibly look at this team and think they're not better than some of the most recent Alabama teams have because they can throw the football. Like you can't.
That's been our problem all
that.
The other years that we haven't been able to beat Alabama.
Right.
Can throw the football.
Yeah.
Now we can actually throw the football, run the football, and do whatever we want on defense.
Listen to we, huh?
We.
Listen to we.
We from Southeastern.
I tell you what. We.
We.
Bring on everybody.
Take them all.
4 weeks ago, I don't know. I don't know about the
Because you were on the same
boat.
I don't
know. 4 weeks later, bring on everybody. I want Urban. I want Nick. Bring them all on.
We'll take them all. Catholic League, everybody.
How about you worry about Saturday? Worry about Nick Mullen first. Dan Mullen.
But apparently if it's Alabama, they have to worry about the championship game.
They don't
game.
Have to worry, yes. Yeah, they don't have to worry, to be honest with you. They slightly worry when they go play LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah. In November, they got a month of no worries. LSU's got a handful of worries.
Thank you. So you're saying that LSU's road... You're saying that LSU has a harder schedule all the way around than Alabama.
I never said they didn't. It doesn't matter.
You're better making it out to saying that Alabama has...
Stop it. It doesn't matter who Alabama's playing right now.
Yeah, because they're playing nobodies.
Okay. They're taking care of nobodies in a certain
fashion. Oh, because that's so hard. LSU has taken care of nobodies.
You're an unbelievable person to have an argument with because there is no end in sight, and you're just going to, if I say one thing, well, this person can do that. That's fine. You'll see.
Okay, you'll see.
I mean, it's like, but that's
Write
the problem.
Down.
So you can't be excited or happy about what they're doing now. It's fine. I'm just telling you, like the rest of the country, not just me, pretty much feel Bama right now is just on another plane and level. And you're out there saying they're going to get spanked.
Yeah.
Hey, if it happens... Show is yours. Go for an hour. Just pat yourself on the back.
Here you go, Jordan.
Will do.
If it happens.
I mean, I have nothing to lose.
It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I tell you, it just doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
It all boils down to that you went to Southern Miss and you just hate LSU.
Yeah. Member of the Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office wants to know if you're impaired, if you're driving home right now. Maybe you should Uber.
Wow.
May have to do a little breathalyzer, just saying.
I mean, I did eat one of your crackers. You could have laced it.
You did eat a
something.
Saltine. That's right. That saltine cracker. Again, I'm just, dude, if you've watched football this year, look,
Alabama's
LSU is doing very well. They're getting, dude, stop it. Even when they play the nobodies in your mind, they're spanking them.
Let me see them play a real opponent first.
Oh, my God.
Then I'll justify the spanking of the nobodies.
You really are that guy, aren't you? It's LSU and everyone else, isn't it? You really are.
You're that guy that always...
No, you are. You are. I'm that guy that what? Looks at games. I watch games and I see what I see. But you're that guy. No matter what I say, I'm wrong because go Tigers. That you're that guy. That's fine.
No.
That's fine.
No.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, I said, I'll say it. I was wrong.
This is coming from
someone who literally
didn't stay after halftime.
No, that's what I'm saying. I was wrong. Because they proved to me that they could beat actual.
By who? Who have they proven by what? What are they proving to?
They're the only team in, I don't know, X amount of years that have beaten two top 10 SEC teams.
Yeah. Stats. Okay, I'll give you some of that. And then look at those teams. Are they as good as you think they are?
Auburn's doesn't matter got all kind of them, they were all hyped up.
Yeah. Well, are they as good? I don't know. Are they as good? Miami's not as good. Auburn's not as good.
Auburn's 8.
Southern Miss shouldn't have been in that ball game. Just saying. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is sponsored by New Orleans Harley-Davidson, the biggest selection of Harleys in the South, located at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
That's Saints fans taking over the Big Apple, and it was a big win for the Saints. The defense held the Giants to 7 first-half points, and the offense, which had to settle for 4 field goals and 4 red zone trips in the first half, finally woke up. It was led by Alvin Kamara.
Reeves gives it to Kamara. He's got a huge opening, and he's able to get past the secondary and take off for his third touchdown of the game.
CBS Sports' Jim Nance with the call. That touchdown sealed it 33-18, the final 3 TDs, 181 yards from scrimmage for number 41. The Saints' defense, as I said, did the job. 3 sacks of Eli Manning. They kept Saquon Barkley, the rookie running back, to 44 yards on the ground. Sunday was made even better. With 6 seconds left, the Bengals scored to beat the Dirty Birds. The Bucs got smoked in Chicago, so the Saints sit alone atop the NFC South. I'm Gus Kattengill. For more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. The greatest bikes in the world are right here in your backyard at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill, and what a great time to stop by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. They have the greatest bikes of all time arriving daily and available with 1% financing. New Orleans Harley's also giving away tickets to the World War II Air, Sea, and Land Fest to anyone who test rides a 2019. And on Fridays and Saturdays, you can put your name in the hat for the motorcycle giveaway that will be drawn during the annual Halloween party Thursday the 25th. Get out to New Orleans Harley and get in on the action. While supplies last, financing with approved credit, see dealer for details.
Frank Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's catering department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Jordan Hocken, folks, stay in contact with the show, even after if you missed part of the show.
Go on Twitter. I'll be posting the link to our SoundCloud there. And on Facebook. Once you click on those links, you could go right to our website, and then it will bring you right up to our SoundCloud page. Press play, and you'll be able to listen to our show.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing in fantasy football, by the way?
Oh, Gus, you just want to point out all my flaws today.
No, huh? I'm just asking you. I don't know. Just asking.
in one of the leagues, I'm 2-2. Yeah, 2-2. And then the other one, I'm 1-3.
But okay. You're still better than Ohio State.
Yeah.
Bring them on.
There it is. Bring them on. Bring on everybody. That's going to be your new nickname. Bring on.
Bring on.
Yeah.
Bring on.
Bring on Jordan the intern. We bring on Tim Heaney. RotoWire at Tim_Heaney is a way to follow him over on Twitter. Tim, how are you doing this Monday?
I'm doing pretty well. It was fun watching Alvin Kamara do his thing.
Mm-hmm. He's good. It's just
he's okay, yeah.
So I saw we were talking about an article, I think Bill Barnwell of ESPN, you know, did the – it's a quarter of the season's in the book, so it's, you know, who the MVPs are, who the offensive players of the year. Kamara and Thomas in his top three. He's given three in each category. And then in the MVP, it's the three quarterbacks. It's Breeze, it's Goff, and it's Mahomes. That's pretty much your fantasy right there, isn't it?
Yeah, and we saw Ryan Fitzpatrick crater out of that tier yesterday, too. So.
Yeah, he definitely cratered out of that. Yeah. Pat Mahomes plays today. I think a lot of people maybe haven't seen a lot of the Chiefs games are going to get a chance to see him as well. I mean, the numbers have been ridiculous, and obviously the fantasy points he's been giving have been insane as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos, not as tough a defense as it used to be. Their secondary's not as, you know, star-powered. The pass rush is good. But the Chiefs just have so many guys you can throw to. You know, Kareem Hunt had a bit of a slow start, but that's because they've just been throwing at everybody. Tyreek Hill's done his thing. Sammy Watkins starting to emerge a little bit more. But then they have, you know, Chris Conley, DeMarcus Robinson, DeAnthony Thomas, of course, Travis Kelce there. There's a lot of options, and I think Mahomes is just kind of, you know, running that air raid offense from Texas Tech, and Andy Reid's really just kind of adapting to what he's doing. It's worked gangbusters so far, of course. So.
Yeah, no doubt. I think one of the things as well that was surprising to me yesterday, in a good way, it's probably a game a lot of people didn't, you know, have circled on the calendar and want to go check out. But Browns and Raiders, and you really saw maybe what Carr can kind of sort of get back to. But Baker Mayfield, too, even those mistakes, man, I don't know. He's a guy that he just kind of has it, doesn't he?
You know, road game, I could see giving him a little slack for the long-term picture. I still think he probably has the most upside of any of the rookie quarterbacks here. Maybe you can argue for Josh Allen, too. But the combination of the weaponry he has, Mayfield, and just kind of that his presence in the pocket, it'll be better from now on, I think. It was a little bit of a different game flow. I mean, they got robbed. They should have won that game for one. That call on the first down marker was horrendous. But still like what I'm seeing from him. Willing to take chances downfield, better than Tyrod Taylor at that. So, yeah, I still like Jarvis Landry. Still like Antonio Callaway a little bit. It's a good setup for Mayfield to kind of take a couple steps forward here in the future.
800-998-1003. If you got any questions for your fantasy football, Tim Heaney, RotoWire, joining us here as well. You know, so you mentioned Fitzpatrick. Hey, there he goes. Jameis Winston comes in. You know,
I mean,
exactly. Yeah. Oh, we spare no expense. Look, who else do you kind of see after a quarter of the season that maybe you could have been high on, and maybe you're kind of looking to either replace or not start as much based off of what you've seen through four games?
I mean, I wish James Conner would have taken a little bit longer to collapse, because that would have been a nice sell high for me. I think the volume still be there, but he's still very inefficient at this point, replacing Le'Veon Bell. I think maybe Jalen Samuels gets a little bit more of a run as the season turns out late. Of course, Leonard Fournette getting hurt, again, kind of ruins things for a lot of people, I would imagine. So Jordan Howard's looking a little bit shaky there. Tariq Cohen and that offense, even though they took off yesterday, I think it's more of the passing game coming through for them. Howard getting left out of the cold again. You know, the wide receivers, I think, you're looking at kind of guys like Amari Cooper, I guess, finally broke out yesterday. But then Odell Beckham's still not even doing as much as he could be doing in that offense as well. So that's costing a few people there. Maybe the Fitzpatrick drop maybe might affect Mike Evans a little bit in the future. So that's something to look out for as well.
I think one of the teams that I'm still kind of trying to see, you know, what was the Dolphins. They got hammered yesterday. I mean, they were undefeated. They got hammered yesterday. I think I've asked you this in the past couple of weeks. You know, there's a guy like Tannehill, you know, is he a starter? Is he a guy you keep back there? I mean, he's your guy that, you know, when the bye week happens.
Yeah, I'll also throw Kenyon Drake in there as a bust candidate for sure. A little too overexcited about him. Tannehill, I still think there's a little bit of stability there because, you know, another year in that system could help this whole offense. But I think it's the receivers more so that are going to be safe in this whole thing. You know, Kenny Stills, and whenever he gets there, Devontae Parker could be interesting. Tannehill, quarterback is so deep, I'm not really worried that much about running to get him in any way. I think that was a comeback-to-earth week for the Dolphins, for sure. I still think there's a little bit of good rental value coming up for bye weeks. But they face two tough defenses in the Bengals and the Bears coming up, so I'm not all that excited in the near future.
All right, a couple of questions on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA. Tim Heaney, RotoWire, is joining us for the next couple of minutes. If you want to give us a call as well, 800-998-1003. Tim, Sean says, I have Kupp, Juju, Hopkins, and Fuller. Kupp, Juju, Hopkins, and Fuller. Should I trade one for a tight end since I just lost Eifert? Also, when do you think Freeman will be back? I'm hurting at running back in my PPR league.
Yeah, I'll go to the Freeman one first. I think that he was kind of close to getting back this week, but they kind of called it off over the weekend. So I could see him coming back this coming weekend. That'll be against the Steelers. That's a great matchup for running back, the Steelers this year. As to that, the receiver question, I think trading Fuller at this point might be your best shot. But, of course, he's hurt coming out of this weekend as well. I don't think he returned to the game yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. So you might not be able to sell him. I wouldn't sell Kupp, Juju, or Hopkins if possible. I think those guys are high enough in their pecking orders to be really a weekly wide receiver one or two most part. Mm-hmm. I think Fuller relies a lot on, you know, big plays and touchdowns. And, you know, he's efficient on less workload than usual. I think that's the guy that I would be looking to trade if he's healthy for the coming weekend. Maybe wait till after next week to trade him if he has a good showing.
Sir Saint has a question for you. Should I drop Crabtree and pick up John Brown?
I should have done that like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Brown is really thriving in the system. Joe Flacco's yards per attempt is ready to skyrocket this year. He loves that system. I think that they've adjusted to him this year. And, I think especially if it's non-PPR, that where you value, depth of target, more yardage in receiving, Crabtree's going to be kind of PPR-centric type of guy. You got to pick up Brown immediately.
Seth on Twitter. Going forward, Ridley or Callaway? I got both on my team.
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't drop Ridley.
Yeah.
Ridley, for sure. Better off picture, better receiver. Callaway's kind of an all-or-nothing guy as well. But even though Callaway has 20 targets over his last 2 weeks, that's a big development there to hang on to him as, like, that bi-week filler type of guy. I got to go with Ridley here. I'm more trustworthy offense with Matt Ryan.
All right, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA if you'd like to go in and ask us a conversation as well. Got two phone calls. As soon as we get the name here, we'll give them to you here in a quick second. Do you have anything, Jordan, intern, since you haven't really been winning?
Well, I mean, it doesn't help when I don't have a backup tight end or a backup defense, and I can't really pick one up when all the games have started. So,
yeah.
No, yeah. I don't have any questions.
Well, there
but
you go. You know, I didn't like the attitude. You lost your opportunity.
I wasn't trying to be mean.
Sean, Sean just hung up. All right, Joey, who's the next person?
Me, I guess it's back up to me.
Oh, okay. We just had Sean, and then he went to go on, and boom, there you go. And he's calling back. All right, you got 10 seconds. Go.
Me?
Yes, you.
No, we'll just go to Sean real quick. Because I didn't like the attitude that you gave me.
All right, you know
falsely
what? I can give you as much attitude as possible. Tim Heaney, RotoWire at Tim_Heaney is the way to follow over on Twitter as well as we wait to see if that is Sean or not. One of the things, obviously, and Seth says thanks, by the way, for giving you. It's a new caller. James. James, you're on with Tim Heaney. What you got?
Hi, fellas. Just a quick question. PPR league tonight, I need to start one. Do I start Watkins or Thomas?
Watkins or Thomas, that was?
Yep.
All right, I got to go with Thomas there. I think the Broncos will be in throw mode, and it's a skinny tree for the wide receivers of the Broncos, so I got to go with Thomas. Watkins has too much else to deal with there.
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right, thank you, James. Appreciate it. 800-998-1003. Tim Heaney from RotoWire joins us Mondays at 1:30 to talk a little fantasy as well. Case Keenum and the Broncos, is that a team that all can give you points as well? Because, you know, you always look at matchups, you know, and one of the things that when you look at matchups in games like this, I'm thinking it's home. You know, Mahomes could be on the road there as well. But because he can score, maybe Case Keenum's a guy that, you know, I mean, it's too late to start an ad, but I'm just saying, is he a guy that maybe has to put up numbers today?
The Chiefs defense is going to, well, for one, the Chiefs offense is going to make people have to keep pace anyway, and two, they have a weaker defensive personnel than usual, even though Eric Berry's return might help that. But Keenum's got a good group of guys there. That, you know, Philip Lindsay's addition has been huge to help the passing game. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, very reliable guys at the top. Cortland Sutton inching his way in there, but still not great. The tight end they really don't use, and Jake Butts now out for the year, so that kind of limits things there. But Keenum's just, you know, maybe like the fringier quarterback too, like a top 25 type of quarterback most weeks. And you know, Keenum's the kind of guy that thrives in the Minnesota good system, good personnel. I think it could be the same with the Broncos if Sutton can get going. This week's a good matchup for him, especially if you're playing DFS. I don't know if you can or Louisiana, I forget. But And then you got the Jets, you got the Rams, you got the Cardinals, and you got the Chiefs again in Week 8. So you got a good stretch for bye week replacement value there. So I would be at least looking to pick him up in the deeper league, and the quarterback lot is diminishing a little bit.
All right, a friend of mine has a question.
Yep.
His question is, should he obtain Delvin Cook, Gio Bernard, and Tyler Boyd, and trade away Melvin Gordon?
I think Bernard's value would go down as soon as Joe Mixon comes back, of course. Dalvin Cook, you know, it's kind of like the discount version of Gordon at his peak, but they're not really there yet, the Vikings offense, and I don't think he's there physically yet. I think Gordon's a keep in this one, I think, because he's going to have that role for the whole year. He's going to chew up volume, and the Chargers, you know, the wide receivers below Keenan Allen and Mike Williams aren't that great, so I think Gordon's going to keep that role. I would usually do like a 3-for-1 in that case, but I think Gordon's going to be better than the sum of those parts that he would get back. So,
Charles, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover Show with Tim Heaney of RotoWire. What you got?
Hey, I have a guy in my league trying to trade away David Johnson, and he wants to get Lamar Miller, Lindsay from the Broncos, and Quincy and Nunez from me. Do you think that's a quality trade?
Oh, Johnson for those three? Absolutely. I think you want to get Johnson, right, Charles?
Yes, I want to get Johnson.
Yes, I would do that. I think Josh Rosen under center improves that, improves his outlook there. I mean, if it's one of those leagues where you can kind of replace these guys easily off the waiver wire, I could totally see that. And, you know, Inun was Sam Darnold's number one target. I don't like that Jets offense, though. Lindsay's going to trade production with Royce Freeman here and there. Lamar Miller might be the best part of that whole thing, but, you know, he's kind of limited in his scope in the offense as well. So, yeah, I think I would like to get David Johnson with that trio as long as you can get waiver wire replacements for them. And depends on who else you have in your roster, too.
I got you. Can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah.
Do you think that if fantasy-wise, Alvin Kamara is going to drop off significantly once Mark Ingram comes? And do you think he's kind of like a sell-high target or keep him all year because he's a beast?
I mean, if you could sell for like an Ezekiel Elliott and kind of swap production that way, maybe get someone else on the upswing, I could see that. But I think Kamara's going to have his own role. I think Ingram's going to kind of invade more so on the rest of the lower end of the Saints passing game. Kamara 20 touches can still be a running back one in a lot of weeks. I think Ingram might be the secondary 15 to 20, maybe more if the game flow gets out of hand for the Saints' favor. So I wouldn't be just so quick to sell on Kamara because I think he's his own player, his own entity in that offense.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Charles. Now, you know, Tim, I agree with you because I think what you saw yesterday too, right? You had three TDs, 4-9, and 49. That's the thing with Alvin, man. You can give him a screen, a toss, and he can get a big chunk play that gives you a bunch of points on one touch, which is why, to me, I mean, he's spectacular.
Yeah, even with the threat of Ingram, I still think he's a top 12 running back, minimum top. I would even say like top 5, still just the way he can kind of do things after the catch. The offense favors that sort of player. He's his own standalone fantasy running back, even with Ingram back, although I've stashed him in a couple of places. I'm happy to have him back, but I know he's probably the secondary option there. So I would not go running to sell high on Kamara unless you're really blown away by, like I said, Ezekiel Elliott or like a Todd Gurley kind of swap there.
Tim, as always, man, I appreciate it when you join us here on a Monday. I'm a ball of nerves watching my Cubs and Brewers knotted up at 1 right now in this tiebreaker game. I know it is good. Tell folks what they can find over at RotoWire, bud.
RotoWire.com/radio or RotoWire.com/free. You can try us free for 10 days if you haven't already. You know, then you have subscription rates after that. Rankings, sleepers, busts, you know, all of our free blog section, our news. I host Facebook threads on Thursday and Sunday before games. And I have a Wednesday show on Facebook called, it's going to be called the Wednesday Wire, I guess now. I have trying to work on the names on that one. And I have the Fantasy Football Monday podcast of the recapping all the Sunday stuff. It's kind of doing similar things like today, but more in depth with more time. So happy to always be on, Gus. It's good to help everybody. everybody.
For sure, man. I appreciate it. And again, if you didn't get in, it's at Tim underscore HEANEY. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Gus.
For sure. Talk again next Monday. Take a quick break. Come back. Wrap up hour number two. Marlon Fayright, 215. The rest of the way is your phone calls. We'll continue to talk a little bit more about the Saints, LSU, Tulane, Nichols, all big winners over the weekend, Southeastern as well. Jordan, haven't heard anything about you lining up. There you go. Do you want to bring on anybody there? Well, bring on anybody.
Bring on Alabama.
There we go. Bring them on, Jordan Cleveland.
And I want to play at Barry Stadium. I don't want to play at Alabama Stadium.
Sure, same thing. Yeah. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. We don't love to change
the world. Join the fun as La Fête de Vieux-Temps, which translates the Festival of Old Times, kicks off this Friday evening with dancing from Down Home, Ryan Foray, Travis Thibodeau, and Foray Tradition. Saturday is Tête Dure, Mule Kick, and Velvet Sky, closing the night out with Sold Out. Sunday is Double Play, followed by Junior Lacrosse. Enjoy great food and drinks, a boucherie, sauce piquante cook-off, craft boots, carnival rides, Cajun education seminars, and much more. This weekend, for La Fête de Vieux-Temps at 4484 Highway 1 at Bayou Lafourche Farm Market, and Visitor Center.
Tune in to my new favorite TV show, Fansville, presented by Dr. Pepper, airing every Saturday throughout the college football season during the commercials. In Fansville, Dr. Pepper delivers a tour de force performance alongside legendary college football co-stars Brian Bosworth, Eddie George, and Les Miles. Critics are saying it's good, fantastic, and the best thing since Diet Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper Cherry. Get to your local Walmart today and grab some delicious ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Join ESPN 100.3 FM on Monday evenings at 6 live from Rotolo's Pizzeria in Thibodaux for the Nichols State Coaches Show with Coach Tim Rebo. Join your host, the voice of the Colonels, Brian Johnson, as he interviews coaches, players, and adds insight on upcoming games. Along with Nichols State athletic updates, you'll enjoy great pizza, calzone, salads, pasta, and wraps from Rotolo's Pizzeria in Thibodaux. Join ESPN 100.3 FM on Mondays at 6 with Coach Tim Rebo and go Colonels.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Well, it's only a key moment in the game here. Bottom of the sixth, runners on first and second for the Cubs. 1-1 Brewers and Cubs. Baez, NL MVP candidate, 1-1.
He's in a home run here. Watch.
I can't see right now.
Just watch.
Rankings, AAP top 25. Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, LSU 5. That's what I would have right now. You think I'm garbage because I won't put LSU over Ohio State there.
Said if they lost, then I would have put them at 3.
Not what you said.
Yes, I did.
Barrett Sale. You know who that is?
Yeah, he's the dude on Twitter.
Or Saley?
Yeah, the dude on Twitter you're pulling up right
now. I should probably, you know, pronounce it better. It's Barrett Saley, CBS Sports College Football. He just wrote something that says Ohio State rises over Penn State in a top 25, and they are where they should be, above Clemson at number 3.
They did win.
It's a big win. It's not enough for you, though, huh?
No. What I was saying was if they lost to Penn State, then LSU should have been the third seed.
Above Clemson.
Yes.
That was your argument.
Yes.
But then somehow, some way, that translated into you saying that you take them over Ohio State. I mean, you did say that.
No. I said we'd spank Bama. Did.
Well, that was after.
No,
that
I never said I'd take them over Ohio State.
No, you did, because then Brian Ole Miss said you're right.
So LSU
over Ohio State.
If they lost, then LSU over Ohio State.
That's not how I remember it.
That's exactly how it went down.
I don't think so.
I have the show recorded, and I'll make sure.
You know what? We'll find out. We'll go to the tape. Like who will? Like Sean Payton says tomorrow. We'll go to the tape. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow. That's your homework assignment
like
for the night.
Just like the Aaron Rodgers thing when you said, oh, Aaron Rodgers. They didn't say that about Aaron Rodgers. Or you didn't say that about Aaron Rodgers. And I played it back and you did say that about Aaron Rodgers.
I don't remember. See, I can claim age. Tiredness. No, exactly. I could go in front of Congress. I could easily do it.
I don't remember.
Nope, don't remember. Can't recall, recollect, and I don't know. Can't confirm or deny. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
And I guess same.
And then if the questions keep coming, Joey, when do you plead fifth? When do you plead the fifth?
Never plead the fifth when you're trying to get confirmed.
No.
No, what fifth. Oh, fifth.
Yeah.
I thought you said fifth. Fifth. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. Okay, never mind.
Oh, no, no. I wasn't saying, is that the fifth? No. I'm saying pleading the fifth, as in I don't have to answer to incriminate.
Start off with your name. I plead the fifth.
Hey, nice job, Javier Baez. Way to strike out. We're running some first and second. Good job there, bud. Guess who's not getting the MVP? You.
Chill out.
Bum.
Wow. So he's your bum of the day?
One hit, that's all he needed to do. But he's trying to hit a home run. Look at the swing with two strikes. Look at it.
He's trying to hit a dinger.
Look at it. You know what you need to do?
Hit a dinger.
Bloop it over anybody and just find a spot in the outfield and to run.
Nah, you have to hit a dinger every single time.
Yeah, well, you know what? Your philosophy and his, about as good. You're sitting down and so is he. You just struck out.
That's your team.
You shouldn't have put that game on next to me. See, now I'm angry.
Yeah, you've been angry ever since I've turned it on.
I'm angry.
Swing and a miss.
Yep, exactly. Two on. I mean, just put the ball in play, dude. You would think the playoffs make you happy, and they don't. They don't make me happy. I'm miserable. I really am.
I could tell.
800-998-1003. Coming up next hour, we'll go back over that game, Giants and Saints. There were a couple of plays in that game that really stood out, too, that maybe, you know, aren't on the box score. And, look, obviously, the ones that immediately come to mind are Kamara's and Breeze making a play, DeMario Davis. But Marcus Davenport made a play or two that was hopeful as to what maybe you can see from him as well. And then there's another list that puts Marshawn Lattimore in a category.
Not a good one.
Yeah, no, it's not a good one as well. Jordan will give you that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. And wasting all my time.